Welcome back to another episode of the Road Trip Playlist Podcast. It is good to be back. This is season two of the Road Trip Playlist Podcast, and I'm super excited about this season and to have new episodes for you. This week, I'm talking with Parker Millsap. Parker has shared the stage with Elton John, opened for Jason Isbell, and performed on Conan. His album, The Very Last Day, was nominated for the Americana Music Association's Album of the Year. He is currently on tour promoting his newest album, Be Here Instead, and will be at New York City's Bowery Ballroom Saturday night. Make sure you check out his new album and buy tickets to see him on tour at parkermillsap.com. I really enjoyed my conversation with Parker. We talk about his favorite road trip candy, his new album, Be Here Instead, and being back on tour. It's a fun episode. Bear with the sound quality. We did it over the phone to fit in with his touring schedule. And so stay tuned for the interview after a quick word from our sponsor.
All right, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, we should be good. Thank you again for joining me again. This is for the website Road Trip Playlist and also the podcast Road Trip Playlist. And so, Parker, I like to start out by asking what it is that's on your road trip playlist.
Well, funny enough, I actually just made one for this tour. Hold on, let me pull it up if I can.
Of course. I knew you were on tour, so I knew the question applied.
I'm sorry?
I knew you were on tour, so I knew the question was applicable.
Yeah, I've got it. Hold on. There it is. Post-show drive. We got Jesus and Mary Chain, Arcade Fire, War on Drugs, Ramones, Television, NRBQ, Little Feet, Red Hot Chili Peppers, New Order, Bob Dylan, David Byrne, Sign the Family Stone, Steely Dan, Grateful Dead, Aaron Ray. All over the place.
That's an amazing list. I'm going to try to look you up, see if I can find it on Spotify somehow.
Yeah, I don't know if I've made it public, but it should be.
You never know. Maybe a listener will find it and put it into some Reddit page. I'm always impressed.
Perfect.
but Parker, again, it's great to be with you. You mentioned, you are on tour. What has it been like being back on tour?
It feels amazing. I've been waiting like 2 years to play some shows. The last full band shows I did were in about this time in 2019. And then early 2020 is when I recorded this record, and I haven't been able to play any of these songs for people yet. So it's been really great. It's been really great to get out and play these songs for people in the flesh. Like, a lot of these songs, even though some of them are written as early as like early 2019, most of them had never been played for a live audience until this tour. So, that feels really great to finally get to play them. I really love these songs and I believe in them. So yeah, just grateful for the opportunity to play them for people.
What's it like for, cause kind of usually like when you release and you're promoting a record, you've kind of tested the songs out live and been able to play it for people and get a little bit of feedback before it's kind of put into this forever record. What's it been like playing it for some of the first times with people?
It felt really good. We did so much rehearsal leading up to recording the record. And then when we felt confident that this tour was actually going to happen, we did a bunch of rehearsals leading up to the tour. So we did like, 10 or 12 rehearsals in the weeks leading up to tour. So we kind of came prepared. And it feels really great. I mean, my band is amazing. I feel really grateful and lucky to play with them. And I'm not tired of these songs yet. And I was curious about how my voice would hold up, having not toured in a minute. And because this new material just kind of sits in a different register in my voice. Some of it does anyway. So, but everything's going really well. I'm still talking. had a couple off days. Felt great.
Oh, good. Well, and it's a we haven't said the record's name, but it's Be Here Instead, and it's a fantastic album, and I encourage everyone to listen to it. I've read a lot about it, and everything that I've read, it's people talking about kind of the different sound. They're talking about the lyrics being more personal to you. You talked about the process being enlightening. I wondered where this is more personal and less kind of characters that you've created lyrically and then to live in these songs. What's it been like now releasing and performing songs that are a little bit more personal from you off of your own experiences?
I mean, great. There, you know, anytime the only times I've felt weird about singing a song is when I'm worried that I won't be understood because I have some character-driven songs and stuff. Like some people, there are people who don't listen to the verses and only listen to the choruses. And if you're one of those people, then like some of my songs might mean something to you that I don't intend, especially the more character-driven songs. Specifically things involving, you know, religion and Jesus and stuff. Some people think that, you know, that's my whole bag is like, yay, Jesus, but that's not really, what I'm going for. So these songs, because they're just straight up about my personal experience, I always feel confident that like these words that I'm singing are mine to sing, and I am hopefully not going to be misunderstood. So yeah, I feel great about singing these songs, and they're fun melodies to sing. I feel like I know how to write a song now. Like I'm confident in my ability to write a melody that holds up. Yeah, so far it's working.
No, absolutely it is. And it's fun to hear about. And I was curious cause I know this one, I alluded to it earlier, but this record was different cause the music came first for you, which is new. Do you ever wonder why is there something to that, do you think, where the music came before the lyrics for this out of all the rest of your music you've released?
I don't know. I don't know why that happened this time. I think really I was just, I don't want to say getting bored, but just looking for new avenues to express and new ways to create. I've been writing songs in mostly the same way since I was like, you know, 13 or 14 when I started trying to write songs, which is sitting down at a table with a blank piece of paper and an acoustic guitar. And I started just kind of coming up short with that. Like I'd sit down and have an idea or not, but then just not come up with anything that I felt great about. So then I'd just end up messing around on guitar, or like, what if I tried something on piano, or what if I plugged some effects in, or I've got this drum machine, what if I just picked a drum loop and tried to write something to a drum loop? And I found that it just kind of opened up new avenues for me and let me create like whole songs without writing a word, you know, make a little demo that's all music and come up with melodies and like the groove and all that. And then after listening to that a bunch, just when something popped into my head, I would try to like record that and write it down, whatever the lyric was, and just follow that initial spark. And try to chase it down and find the song that's in it. So that was really liberating. And I think honestly, what ended up happening is I wrote things that were, everything that I write, I hope feels close to my heart, but, the things on this record ended up feeling a little bit less premeditated and almost like I was kind of discovering how I felt by accident. Kind of was able to sneak up on myself lyrically in a really great way. And I feel like I've written some of the most like honest and straight from me, you know, kind of lyrics that I've written thus far.
Yeah, no, it's so fascinating. And the process is always so interesting to me because it's so out of the realm of any way that I've done or written things. Luckily, I only have to put a pen to paper or do some typing and the writing works out. You're trying to combine melodies. You're trying to combine the music parts. And I read part of the things was that came in this record was you playing around with garage band on Now Here and ending up putting together a really, really cool song on the album. And so what was that like? And like, when was it like, okay, wait, I think this is good enough. Like, I'm going to put this out. Like, let's do that.
I don't remember how that particular song started. I think it was just one of those situations, like I mentioned, where I was like trying to write and kind of getting frustrated. And I was like, well, I'm just going to try something completely different. So I just got on my iPad on GarageBand and I have a little, like, you know, 25 key MIDI keyboard and made most of the song that way. Made the music in like a few hours, really.
Wow.
Just made the little beat and then like came up with a little chord progression and I played the song down once or twice on the little MIDI keyboard. And then what I did is just like cut and pasted it. So you can cut the performance in GarageBand and like paste it onto a different instrument. So like say I played a pass on piano, well then I could cut that out and then paste it somewhere else. And then it's the same notes, but it's a synthesizer sound now.
Wow.
And so I did a bunch of that. That's like most of the sounds on that is like there's like one or two takes and then it's all cut up and like moved around to different instruments for different textures, but harmonically it's staying pretty much the same. So yeah, it was just fun. And like, I think that was kind of born out of my getting interested in painting and visual art and, not having any idea what I was doing. And so I was, messing up a lot or like I'd have an idea for something and try to paint it and then it would mess up so I would just turn it into something else but because I have no training and no reputation as a painter, like I wasn't upset about it. I was just like, oh shit, well now it's it's not that anymore, it's this, or now it's abstract, whoops. And that kind of gave me a little bit of freedom and confidence. So like, well, I could totally approach music a little bit more like this, a little bit more like throwing paint at the wall or just exploring until I land on something that feels right. And then when I land on something that feels right, I'll know. And I have the skills to turn it into a song after that. You know, I trust my instincts as a songwriter now enough to just kind of like try anything and see if I can wrangle it back in, you know? So that's what ended up happening a lot on this record. And then there, you know, there are a few examples of things where songs changed dramatically. Like I had written a song, that was like a ballad and my producer, John Aniello, was like, hey man, I really like the words and I think the melody is pretty cool, but there's something about this song that's just not right. Try it a different way. He said to try it like a U2 song. So I tried that and I can't do it. I'm not Irish enough. I don't know. So I tried it like a U2 song for a while. And then, I was like, well, hey, John, my producer, I'm not going to be able to do it like U2. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I'm going to try it like a Lou. I'm going to try it like a Lou Reed song instead. And then that song ended up becoming Gamut, you know, and it went from like this it went from this kind of like slow ballad. I was like trying to figure out how to get in touch with Chris Stapleton's people to get him to cut it because it was kind of a country sounding ballad.
Wow.
But then it turned into like just a straight up dumb rock jam. and we've been playing it as we've been playing it in the set and it kills. So. Yeah,
amazing. Yeah, I imagine that being the one of those things that kills. And so I'm excited to see it at Bowery Ballroom this Saturday. I wanted to know kind of how the live experience has changed for you, or maybe how you're feeling with kind of the crowd, as I imagine there's more energy. That's what I felt. It shows that I've been to since the return of live music.
Yeah, I'm just pumped to do it, you know. I'm just glad to have, people to play for. We've had like a decent amount of people that have like purchased tickets, but then, are not coming to the show for, you know, for one reason or the other. I think just people are still a little bit spooked to be jamming into small spaces, but the people who are coming out are like really big fans. Like I've never had as many people singing along as I've had. Yeah, it feels really, really awesome. And everybody who comes out, like you said, is so excited to be there. We've had a lot of fans who said this is their first show back, you know? So that feels really great. Feel honored. And as far as for me, like, what's the show like? I just really tried to make sure that the music is really, really good. You know, like I mentioned, we did a whole lot of rehearsal before coming out. So it feels really tight. Like the first and second show, we were all kind of surprised, like, wow, we did it. and we did a good job, you know? Yeah, my band is really great. There's like a few things that haven't really been featured in shows before. Like I'm playing a little bit more lead guitar. My band is singing some harmonies, which has never really been a feature of the show before. And I think it really adds a lot to a lot of the songs. It just makes it feel bigger and bolder and sweeter. It's a pretty long set. I'm doing a pretty long acoustic set in the middle. Some songs by myself, some songs with just me and my fiddle player. Yeah, it's a really diverse show. It goes from really quiet to really loud and back and forth. I'm really proud of the show.
I can't wait to see it. I wanted to ask because I loved reading about your background, because you started playing and realized kind of, I assume, your love of playing in a church band, but you guys were so good that sometimes the preacher would not get a chance to get his turn for his weekly sermon because everyone just wanted to hear the music.
Well, that's not good. Have you ever been to a Pentecostal church?
I have not. Okay. I've been to a lot. The churches that I go to is a lot of boring hymns. So it's not boring. I like them, but it's a different experience. And so I would love to experience a Pentecostal church and feel that live.
Yeah, I will say that it wasn't because we were such a great band. I mean, maybe it had something to do with it, but the idea with it is, and like, this is all, I haven't been to a Pentecostal church in a very long time, but I remember very well. When the band keeps going and the preacher doesn't get to preach, it's usually like, it's not about like, wow, this music is so good. It's like the spirit is moving, which, you know what, maybe it is about, maybe okay. that does mean the music is so damn good.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I know a little bit about Pentecostal.
Maybe you're right, and I've been thinking about this wrong the whole time.
you're bringing the spirit through the playing. It's that good.
But basically it's, I mean, to me, it's the same thing of like any ritual dancing frenzy. Everybody gets going and they get themselves worked up and it's like, all right, this feels good. Let's just keep going. And like the idea is, yeah, you're like praising the Lord with your song and your dance and your, and you're rejoicing. You're giving back, giving what you can back to God for giving you, what you have, you know, which I think is a pretty beautiful thing.
Absolutely. I think so too. And hearing that experience, is it, were you, while you were playing that, did you ever think that music would take you where it has today?
I think I give it a lot of credit for taking me where I am today. You know, like that, those first experiences with live music and seeing like the power of live music and seeing and feeling the community around music, you know, seeing
Absolutely.
How music was a force for bringing people together. And like, and also on top of that, reaching, you know, ecstatic altered states. like all of that was appealing to me. So I just kept doing it because I was like, well, this is the best. This is how I know how to feel best. And apparently, you know, if you get good enough at it, you can do this for a living. So that became my goal from, I think I was like 13 or so when it clicked, like, oh, there are guys who just play guitar and that's all they do. Holy shit. I need to do that.
That's amazing. I love what you said about feeling the community around that music, because I didn't go to my first concert until I was like 21. I mean, I went to Tower of Power at a jazz festival back in the day. That was a great experience, but I was maybe 11. And so I didn't see another live show until I was 21, and seeing the community there and just the different feeling of live music is, I was never really felt connected to music before that. And then from here on out, now you have me and I go to a few shows a week, and I've been able to talk to, it's like so much part of my daily life that I get to talk to musicians that I really appreciate, like yourself, and do that. And it's so funny that thinking back to that time where I just had no idea what it was, and then found this like community in it, and it's been really cool. So I loved hearing you say that.
Yeah, I think that there's something that happens. It's like when you go through, I mean, they talk about it often with like trauma, but when you go through anything with other people, you bond with them, you know. It's like absolutely, like a roller coaster or tour or like whatever it is, if you go through, or famine, you know, you go through any of that with somebody, and like you're going to feel closer to them. And I think a really good show does take you through these emotional extremes like an intense experience does. And yeah, it bonds people together, you know.
Absolutely.
You sing along to a song, and then you realize everybody else is singing along to that song. And then every time you hear that song from now on, you think about being in that room with all those people who you felt so close to, because they knew that song too, you know.
It's great. Absolutely, yeah. That's beautiful, because that's how I always tell I know it was a good show, was if I'm leaving and I feel like I could talk to anyone on my way out.
Yeah, definitely.
Become friends with. So I love that you said that. Well, Parker, I know, and I appreciate your window. I don't want to take up too much of it. I have 5 questions that I ask at the end of every interview that I'd love to ask you really quick. And the first is, if you had to choose between breakfast food, lunch food, or dinner food, only food from those meal groups for every meal, which would you choose? And I've heard of legendary like lunchtime dinner foods with your country fried steak and your family, and also the sausage balls for breakfast. So I'm very curious what your answer would be.
I'm definitely a dinner guy. I will eat dinner every meal.
I'm a breakfast guy, and is country fried steak, is that acceptable for breakfast?
Think that's honestly, that you can serve that any time in Oklahoma. That's a breakfast, lunch, dinner, or midnight snack.
Okay, I'm glad I wouldn't have to cut that out. Number 2 is, what would be your go-to karaoke song?
You know, it's been a minute since I've done karaoke, and karaoke terrifies me like infinitely more than a show. But I've been threatening my wife that next time I do karaoke, I'm going to sing Jump by Van Halen.
Oh, amazing.
I've been up, not to get me down. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I want to be there for that. Number 3 is a guilty pleasure that you have while on tour.
Ooh, eating candy. I don't eat a ton of candy at home, but on tour, you're in convenience stores on the reg, and there they are, just those like, so the offensive colors there to just hijack your brain. It's hard to resist.
What's the candy of choice for Parker Millsap?
For a while, it was hot tamales, but then I started getting severe heartburn. So,
that will do it.
Yeah, I switched to like Sour Patch gummies and ice cream.
Watermelon?
Ice cream when I can get it. See, that's the deal. The watermelon's really the only ones worth having. I try all the other ones and I'm always disappointed. The watermelon's where it's at.
Oh, that's the perfect tour candy, I would imagine.
Yeah. They're like usually soft. The other ones, anyways, I'm not going to go on a Sour Patch rant, but.
Look, I'll give you a pro tip. If you ever want to try putting the watermelon between 2 Cheez-Its in this weird sandwich, it sounds disgusting. Not terrible.
That's fucked up.
don't knock it till you try it.
I mean, I'll try it because, my sister eats Fritos with peanut butter.
Oh, whoa.
It's
I can
weird.
See that being good.
See, it kind of works, but it's also kind of weird.
There's a little shock at first, but I'm like, maybe, maybe.
Yeah, okay. But also, the Cheez-It watermelon, that doesn't give you a shock? Okay.
Cheez-It with gummies. There's something about it. I wasn't the one to try it. It was
the
it
crunch was and the sauce.
Exactly, exactly. Number four is one band that's no longer together that you would love to have one more EP from.
A band that's no longer together. Oh, this is very hard. I'm gonna say Charles Mingus's band that's on this record called Blues and Roots. I think it's like a 7 or 9 piece band. I don't know who all is in it, but the band that's playing on Blues and Roots, the Charles Mingus record. I think it might be the same people that are on too. So that band, I want another record from them.
I'm with you. And then the last number five is an interesting guest that you recommend I have on the Road Trip Playlist podcast.
I'm going to say Alicia Gale. She's in this band called Nightingale in Nashville. They opened the first couple shows that we did on this run. She's just like a wonderful songwriter, soulful singer, like a very compelling performer. Check it out, Nightingale.
No, I feel like I've heard of them. I feel like they're on a playlist of mine. So that's
okay. Oh, awesome.
But again, Parker, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure talking with you. And I'm excited to see you on Saturday.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Okay. Have a great day and good luck on tour.
Right, you too. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you again for being here, and thank you again for listening to the Road Trip Playlist podcast. I hope you enjoyed my interview with Parker Millsap. Make sure you check out his music, check out his tour schedule to see when he comes to a city near you. It's surely something you don't want to miss. And thank you again. Don't forget to follow, review, leave any sort of feedback you can on the podcast. I would love to hear it. And I again appreciate you listening and welcome back to season 2. I'm excited for another episode next week with Arrested Youth.